The Ask Theory podcast shines the spotlight on Pinoy scientists from various scientific disciplines. Listen to some of the country's best scientific minds as they explain what they do in simple terms and share fascinating stories of how they got into science, the incredible things they've learned about the world around us, and so much more. This is your host, Mikael Angelo Francisco of Flip Science, for the sustainability series of Reporting ASEAN. I spoke to Dr. Jerry Bagtasa, a professor at the Institute of Environmental Science and Meteorology, IESM, at the University of the Philippines, and Dr. Bernard Allen B.A. Racoma, an instructor at IESM, at the university's campus in Diliman, Quezon City. Tropical cyclones and their impacts are an inescapable fact of life in the Philippines, due in no small part to the geographical location of the archipelagic country of over 110 million people. The country made global headlines with disasters such as Typhoon Haiyan, Yolanda in the Philippines, one of the strongest typhoons of all time that killed 6,300 and caused damages of 93 billion pesos or $1.7 billion in 2013, according to the Philippines' National Disaster Risk Reduction and Management Council, or NDRRMC. Typhoon Rai, Odette in the Philippines, which reportedly left 405 dead and 51.7 billion pesos or $946.9 million worth of damage in its wake per the NDRRMC, triggered the largest number of disaster displacements globally, 3.9 million in 2021, says the Global Report on Internal Displacement. In the World Risk Index 2022, the Philippines has the highest disaster risk in the world, ahead of India and Indonesia. It ranks fourth globally in long-term climate risk 2000 to 2019, going by the 2021 Climate Risk Index. At a time when we're seeing extreme weather around the world and watching out for El Nino, Filipinos wonder if the changing climate may be exacerbating the already devastating effects of these weather phenomena. Among Southeast Asians, Filipinos have the strongest sense of urgency about climate. The latest survey done by the Singapore-based ISEAS Yusof Ishak Institute shows, in its Southeast Asian Climate Outlook 2022 report, 64.3% of Filipino respondents believe that climate change poses a serious and immediate threat to the well-being of their country. Nearly a quarter were most worried about tropical storms. Our guests tell us that the data thus far do not show an increase in the number or frequency of more intense tropical cyclones affecting the Philippines, but that more intense events have been making up a bigger percentage of these typhoons. The damage from tropical cyclones, however, has been increasing. While typhoons will come, there are ways to better prepare for them and minimize damage and loss of life, they say, without panicking. What lessons can we apply to living with typhoons in the climate emergency? What needs to change about how we discuss the risks of tropical cyclones, including in the news? Here's our conversation. When does a typhoon become a disaster? I am also aware of the call to use the term natural hazard instead. Can you tell us more about that? And why the distinction is important? Would you like to start off, Dr. B.A.?
Typhoons occur naturally all over the world, and there are certain cases where typhoons only happen in the ocean. And when that happens and it hits nothing, for example, it just stays over the ocean, develops, dissipates, and it actually affects no one, no person, no land, no ecosystems. It's just a hazard. It's not a disaster yet. So what happens is when a typhoon makes landfall and it starts to affect different ecosystems, different people, different animals, that's when it becomes a disaster. So there's a call to use natural hazard instead because there are no natural disasters in the sense that it only becomes a disaster when people are involved. And sometimes it's exacerbated or exaggerated when the people are not ready. So the call to action is to ensure that we make those in power accountable, since it's not anymore natural because it's either because of negligence or because of other causes that are man-made.
What about you, Dr. Jerry?
Disasters are when there's impact on people, essentially, in a nutshell.
The Philippines has been ranked among the countries that are most vulnerable to natural hazards. But what exactly does this mean within the context of climate change?
When we use the word disaster, it's about impact on people. So, and people, they get impacted differently. So some people are more vulnerable because of their socioeconomic standing. Doesn't mean that you have the same hazard. For example, you have the one particular very intense typhoon hitting one region and almost the same intense typhoon hitting another region. Doesn't mean that impact would be the same for a certain number of people. So because of their standing, many other factors, the impacts can be different. So in terms of ranking, they don't only look at the disasters that people are vulnerable to or are subjected to, but also looking at how the degree or the gravity of the impact is. And I believe with compounding hazards, the Philippines, because of our exposure first to compounding hazards, not only of tropical cyclones, but diba, other hazards. And secondly, because of we're a developing country, many parts of the Philippines are actually still, in a way, relatively poor in terms of socioeconomic standing, makes it disastrous for hazards that are passing through.
First of all, I'd like to clarify, no, we are ranked among the countries by the World Risk Index. So it's an index that's every year calculated for different countries to estimate how high or low the risk of each country is. And this, the World Risk Index actually is calculated as a product of exposure, as Dr. Jerry said. No? Exposure is exposure to the hazard like tropical cyclones, tsunami, earthquake, flooding. And then vulnerability. So it's exposure times vulnerability. Vulnerability is the susceptibility, the coping capacity. I think also resilience. No? So let's say a country is exposed to hazards, but it's not vulnerable. Let's say, for example, Japan is also similarly in the Pacific Ring of Fire. They also experience earthquakes, tsunamis, tropical cyclones, but they're not as vulnerable as the Philippines. They rank very low in the World Risk Index. For the Philippines, so we are similarly exposed to these same hazards, but we are vulnerable. Whether it's because of the coping capacities or our susceptibility, our socioeconomic status as a developing country. So for example, if a tropical cyclone hit us, how ready are we? How much can we invest in preparedness? How much can we invest in recovery, no? Versus when the tropical cyclone hits Japan, they can invest a lot of money, whereas we can't invest much, no? So in the context of a changing climate, no? This is for validation, pano, na in terms of climate change, we are getting more and more hazards. Example, rising sea levels, hotter temperatures, possibly stronger tropical cyclones. So that means the Philippines already very high in risk, no? And then due to climate change, you're increasing our exposure. That means there's a higher chance now that our risk becomes higher and higher as these hazards are increased in nature. So we're already vulnerable at this point, and the changing climate makes us more exposed to different hazards.
You touched upon a point that I wanted to address in this next question. How have typhoons changed in the Philippines over the last quarter century, based on the data from various government institutions and concerned groups? Basically, are they really getting stronger? Are they happening more frequently?
generally speaking, typhoons in the past 5 decades, they have been moving northward. So they're migrating north because presumably of the warming of the oceans. As to if they are getting stronger, the data is not enough. It's not robust enough to say that they are getting stronger. However, percentage-wise, there's more tropical cyclones that are intense compared to the overall number of tropical cyclones. But the actual number of tropical cyclones that are more intense is not getting higher. However, the percentage count is getting higher. So that's something that we need to look at more in the coming years or decades. But essentially, it's not getting more frequent, particularly here in the Philippines. In fact, many studies tell us that the warmer the climate is, the less the tropical cyclones that will form globally. We haven't seen this in the Western Pacific, though we've been seeing this kind of trend in the Atlantic Ocean. So no, here in the Philippines, it's not getting more frequent. We're not sure if it's getting stronger, but it's not getting weaker. So in short, there's still a lot of uncertainty because of the lack of data. And we still need, I suppose, a few years or 1 or 2 decades more of data to be certain of these changes.
I think it's usually because when we consider climate records, just to say if there's a big change or small change with certainty, we need around 30 years or more, I think. And in terms of tropical cyclone data, we are more confident of our data 1980s onwards, because this is when satellites have been launched and we are able to track more tropical cyclones throughout their lifetimes. Pre-satellite era, usually tropical cyclone records are recorded by, let's say, ships and people in weather stations. So we don't have that much data compared to today. And we are not sure. We can't say if they are indeed getting stronger. I think the best thing to look at is historical accounts. And if you look at the records archives of, let's say, Manila Observatory in Padre Faura, they have very descriptive stories about tropical cyclones in the 1800s, 1900s. And they write very vivid accounts, actually. You can look at the archives now, and they will, like, say 10 a.m. tropical cyclone is moving here. Winds are this strong. Rain is this strong. So the thing is, when we compare our historical records to what happened today, you find that it's eerily similar, no? Just like what happened in Yolanda. In the 1800s, I think, or 1900s, there was a similar storm that also caused a similar storm surge. So in terms of, are they getting stronger? I can't say, but what I can say is we experienced these things before as well.
I was able to obtain tracking maps of tropical cyclones within the Philippine Area of Responsibility from PAGASA. And I shared these tracking maps with you. And I wanted to ask, what do the tracking maps tell us about tropical cyclone behavior in the last quarter century as far as the Philippines is concerned?
The maps show us that we're vulnerable, first and foremost. As to the behavior, tropical cyclones are actually in the timescale of weather. So it's a weather phenomenon. That's why it's a little bit difficult to look at it in terms of climatological timescale. So the map that you got, it's a map of tropical cyclones from a certain period. So it's looking at tropical cyclones climatologically. But it's a weather pattern. So it would appear random looking at it in a very long timescale. So it may not make a lot of sense looking at the map as it is. But one of the things that we can get is that we're very vulnerable and almost all parts of the Philippines are exposed to tropical cyclones.
Actually, looking at these maps, no, parang you can't really see any trends. So whether or not there are trends or changes within these years, it can't be seen from these maps, actually.
We've come to expect the rainy season, quote unquote, to arrive in July onwards in the Philippines. Does this still hold true?
July is the peak of rainy season in the Philippines. Rainy season usually starts at the end of May or early June. And there's actually no evidence that there's a shift in the start of rainy season or even the peak of the rainy season. So yeah, I'd say again, July is the peak, not the start. The start usually end of May. And yeah, it does hold true.
I think we also need to contextualize what we mean by rainy season, especially in the Philippines, where rainy season is different for different parts of the country. So we take a look at what we say, the Corona's classification, that, for example, towards the east of the country, it's always the rainy season. Whereas towards the west of the country, it depends on the monsoon seasons. So if the rainy season is July onwards, I think, as Dr. Jerry said, no, it's towards the end of May, particularly for the western, the central parts of the country, I think, and towards the eastern part, yeah. So Bicol, Quezon, Aurora, it's always almost always rain. And interestingly, when I've been looking at my personal records, for example, when I post online, it's been not really shifting, but it ranges, the announcements of PAGASA ranges between May up until July, no? So it's between May, June, July. Pero in terms of has it been changing? I don't think so. We can't say right now. I don't have the data.
Some people I've talked to have said that when they were young, they seemed to hear about typhoons always hitting the northern parts of the Philippines, like Batanes, Cagayan, Ilocos. Does this typhoon zone still exist? And was this ever really a thing in the first place? Or is this a case of the Mandela effect?
Well, tropical cyclones or typhoons actually does have the tendency to move west and then north, no? As you go to the north, you start to miss Mindanao, Visayas, and then you start to hit Luzon. So if you look at the map that you showed us earlier, you can see that there are a lot more lines towards the north of the country versus towards the south, no? So is it a typhoon zone? I think that's what they call the typhoon belt, pero hindi ako sure kung official term yung typhoon belt.
Tropical cyclones, they form in the ocean, over the ocean, and a little bit far from the equator. So around 5 degrees or 500 kilometers from the equator or more. Secondly, they tend to move westward and then northward. It just so happened that the location of the Philippines is along the path of most tropical cyclones, and particularly the northern portion. This happens because during the boreal summer season, June, July, August, there are more tropical cyclones, and there are more tropical cyclones that will move towards the north of the Philippines. So yeah, it's actually, you can say, typhoon zone, although it doesn't mean that other parts of the Philippines are not hit by typhoons. Other parts obviously are also hit by typhoons, but there's actually more for the northeastern part of the Philippines. It's Batanes, mostly Batanes, Cagayan. Next would be the Bicol region, then would be Ilocos.
What do the historical data on tropical cyclone behavior in the Philippines mean for preparation, warning systems, support systems, and even culture in the country?
Culture, the northern areas build their houses with stone, so more resistant to typhoon effects. Compared to when you say, let's go to Mindanao, Visayas. For example, Typhoon Sendong hit Mindanao. It was a relatively weaker tropical cyclone. And then it has less rainfall than what we experience here in Luzon. No? But it caused worse floods in Mindanao. Which means since they're not usually hit by strong typhoons, in terms of culture, they're not as prepared versus when we say typhoon hits Bicol. So historical data, in kumbaga we say na more tropical cyclones hit the north versus less the south. I'm not sure if we can say that the north is more prepared.
I think we can say that.
Okay. Yeah. Mm. Can say.
So my take on this question is that tropical cyclone tracks, they're not random. So they are governed by some physical principles that we try to understand. And using historical data, we can, in fact, infer these physical principles that drive or influence this behavior of tropical cyclones. So I think studying historical data is so important in preparing, because this is the basis for forecasting of tropical cyclones. And yeah, definitely the culture of people who are more impacted by tropical cyclones would be different due to their, I'd say, their collective memory of past events compared to other people who are less vulnerable to tropical cyclones.
Is there a need to change the way we talk about tropical cyclones or typhoons in the Philippines? And if yes, what exactly needs to change?
I think this is a more of a sociological or anthropological question. I'll try my best to answer, no? And this is more of an opinion. If there's a need to change the way that we talk about tropical cyclones. Whenever PAGASA forecasts that a tropical cyclone is about to enter the Philippines area of responsibility or the country, the first thing that people ask for is sana malusaw, or I hope it dissipates. And it's counterintuitive to preparation, no, na you're wishing na it disappears rather than getting ready for it to come. We start to pray, and then there's nothing wrong with praying, no. Pero kung yun yung ginagawa mo when you pray instead of preparing. For me, that's one thing that I want to change, no, yung hope na sana malusaw, quotation mark. Because as Sir Jerry said, no, it's governed by physics, and sometimes if it happens, it will happen. Hindi siya basta-basta malulusaw. There are some physics involved for tropical cyclones to dissipate or to weaken.
Yes, I think there needs to be changes in the way people talk about and understand tropical cyclones. First, perhaps understand that these are natural phenomena that happens in the Philippines. So there's nothing really we can do about it. It will really happen. Secondly, recently I've been seeing certain LGUs, for example, that react, how do I say, they overreact whenever they hear the words typhoon. For example, in one of the recent typhoons that moved near the Philippines, the typhoon was about 2,000 kilometers away from certain regions of the Philippines, and they canceled classes already. Which essentially the impacts would be almost absolutely zero. But just hearing the word typhoons on the news prompted them to act already, even though the impacts are not there. Of course, underreacting, there will be a set of consequences doing that. And overreacting, there will also be a set of consequences in doing that. So it's like recently when, I don't know, whenever you just hear the word typhoons and Philippines, it's as if typhoons, the typhoon will impact the whole Philippines. My point here is we can actually, to a certain extent, forecast the impacts of typhoon very well, very well. And I think a lot of people still don't understand that, still don't believe that it's forecastable, and they have not so much trust sa mga forecasting agencies, particularly PAGASA. And I think that's what needs to change, the trust in the forecasting agencies and the science of forecasting.
What about the way that government agencies talk about tropical cyclones in the Philippines, whether it's in terms of giving forecasts or advisories or warnings? Is there anything that needs to change?
The Philippines is a very large country, no? And when we talk about how we monitor tropical cyclones or typhoons as PAGASA and what we see in the media, it's a very generalized, because we need to think about and talk about the whole country. But what we don't notice is that PAGASA actually has their own regional services divisions. And these are the divisions that directly coordinate and talk with the LGUs, no? And that's something that we don't usually see in the background. And these divisions directly translate in local languages. And then since it's them who knows their own locations, they are able to convey the messages properly. Pero in terms of when we talk about yung national, no? So, kumbaga, we always need to contextualize. And when we talk about the national, it's hard to contextualize, no? Kasi ang dami nating regions, and then dami nating cities. And sometimes we have to make sweeping statements kasi nga hindi mo masabi lahat eh. For example, when we say it's going to rain in Quezon City, sometimes it rains in the northern parts of Quezon City, pero in the southern parts, it doesn't. Pero in the forecast, you just say, okay, it will rain in Quezon City. It's hard, no? Granularity. Siyempre, they're trying their best given the available resources. And in terms of how different it was in the back then, it's, for me, ha, nag-improve na ng, ano, may great thing improvement.
It is often reported that the Philippines experiences 20 to 25 tropical cyclones a year. But according to the data, over the last two decades, the average has actually been 18. What are your thoughts on this? And should the number typically mentioned in these reports reflect tropical cyclones that actually make landfall instead? Or does that come with the risk of reducing the sense of urgency?
So this number, 20 to 25 DCs a year. So there's a region in the Western Pacific called the Philippine Area of Responsibility, which is not the Philippine territory. So the Philippine Area of Responsibility covers a relatively large region around the Philippines, wherein whenever DCs are inside that region, then it's the role of, or it's pag-asa that needs to warn people around that region of impending hazards. So when we look at tropical cyclones inside the Philippine Area of Responsibility, it does not necessarily mean that it impacts the Philippines. So I think recently PAGASA is shifting more towards the impact rather than just tropical cyclones moving into the Philippine Area of Responsibility. And yeah, I agree that sometimes it risks reducing the sense of urgency whenever, just because a tropical cyclone is inside the Philippine Area of Responsibility, that we need to talk about it, since many of those tropical cyclones actually do not impact the Philippines. And in fact, there are tropical cyclones outside the Philippine Area of Responsibility that do in fact impact some parts of the Philippines. And I believe it's more important to talk about tropical cyclones outside PAR that has effect on us compared to tropical cyclones inside PAR that doesn't really do anything on any parts of the country. But I believe, yeah, PAGASA is shifting a little towards the impacts rather than the TC alone. But until recently, in many news outlets, I'd say that still tropical cyclones are reported. In fact, in more recent times, not only inside the PAR, but even outside of the PAR, as long as they exist, they a lot of news, they tend to, I suppose, sensationalize the existence of tropical cyclones. And like I said, a lot of people's minds are shifting towards being so scared of tropical cyclones that they don't really think about the science of it anymore. Just its mere existence, wherever it is, makes them act irrationally, I'd say. Yeah, in terms of how we communicate the forecast, the impacts, and so on, I think that needs to be changed. That would be the answer to these issues.
I think we have to clarify or contextualize what we mean by experiences. Because there's a difference between when we experience a tropical cyclone making landfall or tropical cyclone just barely grazing the Philippine Area of Responsibility, or tropical cyclones entering the Philippine Area of Responsibility and nagkataon na yung season is the southwest monsoon. So regardless if the tropical cyclone makes landfall or not, there's more rain. So it's hard to put a hard number na 20 to 25 that experience, no? Kasi regardless of if the tropical cyclone makes landfall or not, sometimes we still experience its effects. Yeah, that comes with the risk of reducing the sense of urgency. But and also sometimes you have to find the balance. Kasi minsan, it gets exaggerated. And I think this is one of the hard conversations, no? Na lagi natin sinasabi na there's a tropical cyclone, it will enhance habagat. Usually automatic yung sinasabi. Pero hindi naman palagi. There are certain conditions na pag may tropical cyclone, it doesn't necessarily mean na ma-enhance yung monsoon. It's possible, but not always. So, may balance between urgency and too many. And I'm not sure if this is the role of pag-asa pa, no? Or versus the media. Kasi sometimes it's the media that can exaggerate these discussions. I think this has been a long time pet peeve of mine kasi sabi dati sa isang forecast, pag-asa says that a typhoon could intensify to super typhoon. Pero automatic yung media sinabi, super typhoon incoming. So, I'm not sure kung nasan yung breakdown of comms. Or if it's sensationalism or sense of urgency, you have to strike a balance.
For me, yes, definitely we need to distinguish between theses inside the PAR and theses not only that make landfall, but also theses that have impacts on any Philippine soil. So as I mentioned earlier, that there are theses, say for example, around Okinawa, outside of the Philippine area of responsibility, that can still interact with the prevailing monsoon and bring rainfall to parts of the Philippines. So in that sense, kasi ang theses, they have a direct and indirect impact. So the direct impact of theses is when they are in proximity. So you are affected by strong winds and rainfall from the theses, then you get directly impacted by theses. The indirect impact is when theses, when they interact with the monsoon, and the monsoon brings a lot of rainfall in parts of the Philippines, then it's not only about the monsoon, but it's also about the theses that can be, in fact, far away. So for me personally, I believe that we need to focus on the impacts rather than the theses per se. So even if a TC, sometimes they can be quite close to landmass, but if they don't have any effect, of course, information is important, but why really bother on really looking at those types of TCs? But when TCs, even when they're far away and they have significant impacts, then we should really take a look at it, even though, di ba, malayo sila.
The data we've talked about, are they enough to make reasonable assumptions about the impact of climate change on tropical cyclone behavior in the Philippines?
So for looking at literature, looking at the data, there's no evidence of significant changes or significant trends in terms of frequency, strength, intensity, and so on for tropical cyclones that are hitting the country. So it doesn't mean that it's not changing. It only means that the data is not robust enough, or we're not seeing things because of the way we analyze the data, perhaps. So maybe in the next few years, perhaps there will be some form of analysis that can show us certain behaviors and so on. But for now, I think there's really no evidence to tell us that there's a significant impact in terms of climate change on tropical cyclone behavior. However, if we look at the cost of damages, it has been increasing. So it's the same for many countries wherein, even though there are no changes in tropical cyclone behavior over the past decades, still, yung cost of damages are increasing and mainly connected to the development of the economy of countries. In short, it doesn't mean that because climate change is not changing TC behavior that we should be complacent and just status quo.
I'd like to add to that. So we talked about na we can't say right now kung is the behavior of tropical cyclones changing. But when we go back to the new hazard and risk equation by the World Risk Index, no? Let's say exposure is usually combined as yung hazard and then yung population. Kahit sabihin natin the hazard stays the same, so the same tropical cyclones hit the Philippines, the same amount, the same magnitude, pero when we start to increase our population, our urbanized areas, mas maraming exposed.
When I looked at the data from PAGASA, I noticed that they changed some of the tropical cyclone classifications. There's a before May 2015, they had a different classification for tropical depression, tropical storm, and typhoon. From May 2015 to March 2022, they added a severe tropical storm and a super typhoon. And then from March 2022 to the present time, they changed the maximum wind speed categorizations for some of these items. And I found that a bit curious. Do you have any thoughts to share on that?
I remember when I was a kid until signal number 3, yung available. But I think people get numb eventually of the high numbers. And of course, there's a lot of other factors where sometimes signal warning can be 3 during that time, but the impacts are not so much. And this can be forecasting errors from the past. So again, people can get numb. And that's one part of why I think classification needs to be adjusted. The other part is that the range of wind of what tropical cyclones can bring is actually very large. And then wind, the energy of wind is actually the square of the wind. So meaning when we calculate the energy, which we square the wind. So just small changes in the wind, small addition of wind speed can result in large changes in the wind energy that can characterize the impacts of winds can do. So because the range is large and then just small addition to the wind makes it way more dangerous, yung wind, I think there really needs to be more divisions. So like, for example, in the US, when they look at hurricanes, diba, the hurricanes are categorized into 5 categories. That's just for hurricanes. That's excluding tropical cyclones and tropical depressions. So because the range is so big that we need to have more discrete way of categorizing these impacts.
We are on El Nino watch from May to October 2023. Can we already observe this? And if yes, can we say that it has affected typhoon behavior in the Philippines so far?
We have yet to see if bumawas ba or dumagdag by July or August. So El Nino watch, pero we can't say yet.
There's an El Nino watch starting from early this year because the dynamic forecast for El Nino tells us that there will be a relatively strong El Nino towards the end of the year. So I think one of the important things to remember here is that El Nino is not sudden and it does not apply to the whole year. So it gradually, it strengthens starting from around springtime, so around May, June. So right now it's the El Nino is intensifying. I believe the June data, although it's not yet complete, but the June data already breached the temperature required to say that we are at an El Nino. Pero to say really that there's El Nino, it needs to be a 3-month average. So we won't be getting technically an El Nino until around fall season, which will be around September, October. Pero yung the forecast are showing us that towards the end of the year, El Nino would be as strong as the ones in 2015. At least the models, that's what the models are telling us. So in terms of El Nino, to summarize that, we are not on El Nino yet. And it's a forecast that's showing us that towards the end of the year, there will be a strong El Nino. Of course, that's a forecast, so we're not sure yet. During around June, July, August, during the peak of typhoon season, El Nino doesn't really affect the Philippines. I think that's one of the things that is always forgotten in terms of reporting El Nino since several months ago is that El Nino doesn't really affect the Philippines until the end of the year. But ang dami ng agad preparations na ginagawa. But in fact, during El Nino developing years, the southwest monsoon tends to be stronger, generally speaking. So we, in fact, may expect more rainfall in the coming 2 or 3 months because there's El Nino. The effect of El Nino shifts towards the end of the year, meaning whenever there's El Nino, there tends to be less rainfall for the end of the year. Also, it also changes the behavior of tropical cyclones to a certain extent. So because the Central Pacific warms more, more tropical cyclones, they form in that region. So they form farther away from the Philippines. So towards the Central Pacific instead of the Western Pacific. And because they form farther away from the Philippines, they tend to spend more time over ocean. They tend to intensify more. But they also tend to recurve northward towards East Asia instead of hitting the Philippines. So that means that even though tropical cyclones are generally stronger during the peak of El Nino time, which is around the end of the year, they have less chances of hitting the Philippines. I'm not saying that there's zero chance, but there's less chance of, less probability of hitting the Philippines and more probability of moving northward. So the impacts would be less, even though the tropical cyclones existing will be more intense. In terms of the frequency, there's also a little bit, if I remember correctly, there's a little bit less tropical cyclones that form during El Nino developing or during the peak of El Nino compared to when it's neither El Nino nor La Niña during neutral years. So definitely, yes, there's an impact in terms of the impacts of tropical cyclones on the Philippines. But all of these are still forecast. And if we compare year to year, it's a weather phenomenon. So they vary a lot for different El Nino years. So all we can do is to look at the past data, see the behavior, and essentially expect a similar behavior, which can be true and also can be a little bit different from past years.
It's an onset. Hindi siya yes or no. It's slowly. If you look at the PAGASA website, yung El Nino and La Nina monitoring, it's like a spectrum, no? So it ranges from inactive, El Nino watch, El Nino alert, El Nino. Or inactive, La Nina watch, La Nina alert, La Nina. So it's an onset. It doesn't happen suddenly. So we watch, and then may alert, and then saka ma-determine na yes or no.
Thank you for your time. And for answering my questions, Dr. Jerry and Mr. BA, and helping us to better understand what these data tell us about tropical cyclones in the Philippines.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Thank you as well for the invitation.
And thank you for having me as well.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Ask Theory. Follow Flip Science on Facebook, at Flip Science PH on Twitter, and at Flip Facts on Instagram. And check out our official Shopee store if you want to get copies of our books, Historiang Scientifico and Science Scramble. Stay curious!